The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians. We're reading the first 16 verses of chapter 4. So the book of Ephesians, we'll start from chapter 4, starting at verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, he who ascended on high, he has led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, building up the body of Christ, until we all attain a unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open and accessible, as we'll be referring back to this portion of Scripture through the course of this morning's message. Our text this morning is verses 15 and 16, and I'd just like to read those again. They'll be on the screen in front of you as well. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, you've heard us sing that our desire is that the nations would worship and glorify you, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. And for that reason, you have ordained the church and commissioned her to make known the work of Jesus Christ. Lord, make us mature in this. Help us to grow in accord with the work of your Spirit and with what your word is teaching us here this morning. So may we strive for Christian maturity so that the world may see Christ among us, and in us, and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a joy it is this morning to witness the profession of faith of Aileen. We've prayed for her through the years as a covenant child. We've been charged to be concerned for her well-being, and the Lord has worked in her heart. We need to recognize that this isn't something mechanical, that all of a sudden you grow up and realize that, you need to do this one day, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's also a reminder for us as a congregation, for us as members of God's church. For those who have professed their faith, it's a reminder of what it means to be a member, a living member of the Church of Jesus Christ. We have taken these vows. We've said these things that, yes, we believe the Word of God is the absolute authority in life. We recognize our sin and our misery. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ, We've experienced the work of the Spirit, which causes us to believe and to trust in Him. And for those who haven't professed their faith, for those who haven't yet come to that point, it's an encouragement to consider what the blessings are of being a covenant member of the church, of the promises that God has made to you, and promises that call you to faith in Jesus Christ as well. As we consider God's word this morning, Paul talks about a particular urgency. We find this in verse 1, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. To walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That's for all of us here who hear the call of the gospel this morning. There's a point that we need to recognize that God is calling us to live a particular way, to grow up in Christ. As we consider this, Paul identifies it as Christian maturity, the fullness of Christ. And as we listen to God's word from verses 15 and 16, I'd like us to consider the measure. What does Christ-likeness mean? The contrast. How is this different from everything else we see in the world? And thirdly, the connection between us personally and the body. So the measure, the contrast, and the connection. First of all, the measure. There's a calling to maturity that we all have, and every one of us needs to grow up. It was interesting this last week, we had a Young at Hearts meeting, and I and Michelle went to that, and Young at Hearts is those who are the older members of our congregation. One of the members prayed there that they, as older members, would grow up. And you would think, surely the older folk, how do they need to grow up? But that's the truth, isn't it? No matter what stage of life we are, no matter how old we may be, there is this call that God places upon us to grow up. That's the character of what we call sanctification. That God is working in us by His Holy Spirit in such a way that we would grow in holiness. That's what sanctification is. It's a growing in holiness. But we're considering the measure of that. And how do we know when we're more mature than we were last year, when we have grown up just a little bit? Well, God's word reminds us that there's some mature manners of Christian maturity. You know how it is, children. There's lessons you need to learn at the table that mom and dad are teaching you when you eat. How to eat with a knife and fork. Which hand to put the knife in and which hand to put the fork in. How to eat neatly with a spoon so you don't pour it off as you're bringing it to your mouth. To say please and thank you. Manners that make life pleasant. Well, with the Christian life, there's many manners that are involved in Christian living. Verse 2 speaks of these manners with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Those are Christian manners. Or verse 17, we didn't read that, but it goes on, now I say this and testify that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated. Those aren't manners. Those aren't something to imitate. That's not the measure. In fact, it's just different. That's not how we're to live. We're to show Christ. Later in chapter 5, Paul will say, be imitators of God as beloved children. A whole variety of manners, but our text that we're considering this morning focuses on one. Paul uses it this way. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And the way we do that is by speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. To be speaking the truth, we need to know the truth. What is true? It's the question that Pilate had for Jesus when Jesus was before him being interviewed and charged by Pilate. And Jesus spoke of the truth. We need to know the truth. What is the truth? Well, God has created this world. Man has fallen in his creation. And we're all guilty before God. But rather than us perish in our sin and misery, he provided. It's the summation of the gospel. That certainly is the core truth. But there's more truth. God's word is truth. Jesus prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. It's to know God's word. To speak the truth, we need to know the truth, we need to study the truth, we need to be able to communicate the truth. We live in a world that is being deceived, that's being given over to all manner of falsehoods, and we need to know the truth, we need to be able to speak the truth. But we need to be able to speak that truth in love. In love. R.C. Sproul, I think, said it well in his commentary. He said, sometimes we as Christians who use this will preface this when we have to confront a brother or a sister with some error. And we say, I just want to talk with you, but I'm speaking the truth in love here. And he says, sometimes those who preface their statements are certainly speaking the truth, but they're doing it with anything but love. They're just using it as a time to point out a weakness, a failure, and a struggle, and to beat them up. It's a line that can excuse a hurtful and hard bluntness or a spiritual bullying that says, I'm better and you're not measuring up. Yes, we need to speak the truth. With love. With love. We need to speak the truth to those whose lives are shattered by the darkness and the oppression of sin. We need to speak the truth in love that they're guilty before God, but there is a way of salvation through the work of Jesus Christ. We need to take the manner and spirit with compassionate and tender spirit that Jesus had. In John 7, Jesus knows that the leaders want to kill him. What's fascinating is that in John 7, as he knows the leaders want to kill him, he still comes before them and he offers himself as the living water, as the water of life, as the one who can satisfy their deepest spiritual thirst. You see, he is the measure. Paul says by speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. And notice carefully, it says, into him. Into him. We grow up in every way into him. Children, think of it like growing up until your feet are big enough to fit into your parents' shoes. I don't know if you do this. Our household does this. Wait until you're taller than mom. They haven't reached taller than dad yet. But oh, when they're taller than mom or taller than their older sibling, whoa, they've grown up. Paul says that's what the Christian life is. We don't become Christ, but we grow up into Christ. That the Spirit is working in such a way that we learn to speak as Christ speaks. We learn to weep as Christ weeps. That as he's being led to crucifixion, he weeps over Jerusalem because they don't know the life that they're extinguishing in their midst. We have to grow up into our head. So that people hear and see that there's a difference in the way you approach life, in the way you deal with life, in the way you do life. in your walk, in your talk, and in your attitudes. You can be honest without being hurtful. You can be honest because you seek the other's well-being, and you'll communicate that desire for truth with a love and affection that resembles Christ. You can be direct without doing damage. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into Him who is the head. I'd just like to highlight some places, and this is why I ask you to keep your Bibles open, where Paul alludes to what this means and how this is going to change the way we speak, the way we communicate. Not only our words that we use, but our whole demeanor in the way we approach these conversations. It comes through in chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. That negatively, this positively, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. Who's like that? Who do you know like that? Who do you show like that? What is the measure of your maturity? It's growing into the measure of Christ. Or chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and here gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There's the whole dimensions of redemption in that. It's what Aileen said. It's what all of us have said at one time or another. Yes, I know my sin and misery. And I know that Christ has died because of that. He gave himself up. And that is to show in our measure of the conversation of our life. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. Not in our selective ways, not in the easy ways, but in every way into Him. And this maturity in Christ will be a moral, theological stability that knows God's Word, knows the truth, loves the truth, lives the truth, makes known the truth, a stability that resounds the truth with love. And what is this stability? We learn the stability from the contrast. Verse 15 begins, rather than what? Paul identifies an immature faith. We would say a childish faith. You know what it's like with children? The latest toy comes up, and that's the only thing on the radar. Mom, Dad, can I get this? So-and-so has it at school, or I've seen it on TV. In my day, it was the yo-yo. Then the Rubik's Cube. Then the handball. And it went from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Always self-focused. What's the latest craze? Boys and girls, it's not just you. It's moms and dads, too. We do this with more sophisticated things like food. Kombucha. Or sourdough. And I don't know what the next one is. Oh, if we could only attain. We have to have a childlike faith. A childlike faith is a faith that trusts and obeys. But not a childish faith. A childish faith is one that is immature, that forgets their manners. That's the dread of parents when their children go to visit a friend or go to camp, are they going to remember to brush their teeth? To change their underwear? Are they going to remember their manners to say please and thank you? A childish faith is one that is unstable. It throws temper tantrums. It's quick to be distraught and upset. It's self-centered and selfish. It follows fads and doesn't think to discern. Well, what does God's Word teach? What does God's Word say? It pursues its own wants rather than what God says. This is what Paul is addressing in verse 14. So we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. A childish faith is not anchored. It wants to be trendy more than being like Christ. Because to be like Christ takes knowledge, takes maturity, takes self-restraint and self-control. How deadly this danger is. We can be taken in by deceitful schemes. In my hometown in Grand Rapids, Michigan, there was a church that was pursuing these schemes. Their pastor was named Rod Bell, and he presented himself as an evangelical pastor with an edge. He wanted to be what was called at that time emergent, which means they could be relevant. They could talk, they could question. He wouldn't preach from a pulpit, he would sit on a stool and just interact with the congregation. He was hip, he was cool. He was the with it thing, and he was very popular. And it wasn't long before he started teaching that there was no hell. And he wrote a book, Love Wins, in which he said, because God's love is so powerful for mankind, he would never punish them for eternity in hell. And because he was so popular, so attractive, those who followed him couldn't resist his teaching. And they were blown about by every wind of doctrine, because it suited and it was subtle. And God's word says, grow up. Rather than be childish, know the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and grow up. To be like Christ, to have this contrast of growing up into him, means we aren't to be controlled by our preferences, not focused on what suits me. And above all, that takes sacrifice. For Christ to be Christ, for Christ to be the stable Savior he is, the sure foundation of our salvation, required that he lay down his life. He, being in the very nature God, Philippians 2 reminds us, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself even to death, the death on a cross. That's not a childish, fad-chasing reality. That's a stable, sure, Father-following, God-glorifying, salvation-rendering stability. In every way, grow up. In every way at church, in every way at home, in every way at school, in every way at work, in every way at sports, in every way at entertainment, in every way on holiday, grow up to be like Christ. And you know there's maturity. One says, I know what I want to do, but what does God want me to do? I will lay down my life for others. And that thirdly, is the connection. Because there's a special focus that Paul gives here, seeking the well-being of the body of Christ. When we grow into Christ, we will have His concern for the body of Christ. Paul uses the covenant imagery of a covenant head from whom the whole body derives its name. And there is a connection between the head and the body, between Christ and His people. Aileen, in your training for nursing, you would have taken anatomy classes. You know which bone is connected to which bone and by what joints or what ligaments and muscles are connected to the bones. Paul gives us here a spiritual anatomy lesson. You who are a believer in Jesus Christ are connected to the head. And there's a calling for all of us as members. What you do individually affects other people, and that needs to be your concern. When you grow up in Christ and when you mature in Christ, you begin to realize that no, there's a whole body that's joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, then I will do my work properly. So when my ankle hurts, it doesn't affect my hip. The ankle does its work so that I can walk upright. How often that's the case. When one part doesn't work, it doesn't just, when I have a toothache, it affects everything about me. You can be incapacitated by one of those small teeth, causing great pain. Becomes the whole focus of your existence. Well, that's the character of the body of Christ. The illustration has been used of how we're together in this as the body of Christ. And it's like a fire. You take a log from out of the fire and you set it on its own. Not only does the fire diminish, but that log will quickly extinguish itself. It will burn out because it doesn't have the other heat of the rest of the fire to keep itself burning. And so too it is with us. And so we're all called to grow up to Christian maturity by understanding the measure, growing to Christ. By understanding the contrast, not being childish, but being mature. And in that maturity, what Aileen has said is a reminder for all of us. She doesn't just say this for her own well-being. She says this because she wants the world to know that Christ is a Savior worth following, and she's willing to sacrifice for Him. Because He, above all and beyond all, has sacrificed for us. And the connection is that we can encourage one another as the body of Christ. And this is such an encouragement for us. And we hope that we are an encouragement to her. But notice how Paul closes with this magnificent reciprocal relationship. It goes in circles. We're to speak the truth in love. And when we do this together as the body of Christ, and when we serve one another in this way, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That we begin to understand the love God has for us and the love we have for one another. What a beautiful display of the work of Christ. It starts with a commitment to speak the truth, and ends with the building up of itself in that love of Christ. And what will that show? It will show our head. We've matured into Christ, stabilized through sacrifice, building up one another by supplying what every joint has been equipped with. Every one of you has a purpose and a calling to serve the Lord within His body. May the world see us mature so that our Father won't be sweating. We know He won't be, but you know how we are as parents. We wonder, how will our children behave when they're away from us? As we follow God's Word, we will show who Christ is. Who is our head? May God help us to grow up. Amen.